across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's 6:06 on this Tuesday morning, June the 4th, 2024. It's another beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota. From wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, through the Civic Media app, watching us on the social media video feeds, or later on demand by podcast. Nice to have you here. I got a question for you. How humid is it by you? Looking at the current conditions around the state, I was looking not just at temperature, but humidity. And the lowest I could find was 84% in Oshkosh. That's the cool part of the state right now. 84% humidity. Other places like Wausau and Park Falls, 100% humidity and fog. So summer's on the way, especially, well, here, let me just share these temperatures right away, and then I'll tell you what's coming up on the broadcast this morning. It's 68 up here in Chippewa Falls, 67 in Hayward, Park Falls at 65 in fog, Wausau 64 in fog, Green Bay 64, La Crosse 67, Wisconsin Rapids 62, Oshkosh is at 69 already, Madison 66 and Waukesha 63, and I hadn't looked at the radar yet because, of course, we had our rain and thunderstorms yesterday morning, and then slowly it made its way across the state here, and just like Brittany told us it was going to do. And so now, let me zoom this thing out. Well, there's nothing that's really – a lot of things have moved out of northeast Wisconsin by now, but there's a whole lot more that's coming our way tonight, so we'll have Brittany here a little bit later on with the details of the forecast. Here's what's coming up this morning. We regret to inform you that Eric Hovde has said even more questionable things over the past few years than previously thought. We'll report on newly uncovered 2017 comments belittling Native Americans in order to try to make some kind of a point about what he thinks is socialism, a word that a whole lot of people like to use without really seeming to know what it really means. We also have quite the list of guests in our second hour. Congressman Mark Pocan will be here for his regular monthly visit. And given the circus that took place yesterday in a congressional hearing room and the behavior, I mean, the childlike or worse behavior of some Republicans in a panel with Dr. Anthony Fauci, I sense that Congressman Pocan is going to have a few things to say about his colleagues there on Capitol Hill. Prior to that, at 7:06, we're going to have State Representative Katrina Shanklin here. Katrina is one of three candidates running for Congress in the 3rd Congressional District Democratic primary, and we have all three of them this week. We have Representative Shanklin today. We have Eric Wilson tomorrow. We have Rebecca Cook on Thursday. So if you are interested in that race at all to see which of these three will be taking on incumbent Republican Derek Van Orden in the fall, then you're going to be wanting to listen to these three interviews today, tomorrow, and Thursday, each one running from 7:06 through the bottom of the hour. We will also have Chad Holmes stopping in, telling us about what's on his show on Bull Falls Radio. And finally, in the on-deck circle, getting set to pinch hit for Greg Bach. Yes, he's got a drum for himself. Luke Mathers, everybody. There we go. Mr. Mathers, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
He's so busy playing the playing his own walk-up music, he forgot to turn on his mic. How are you?
I'm doing well. I saw that sound effect in the folder as I was getting things ready for the show this morning, and I was like, I can't not. Because I had a feeling you were going to play, you're going to tease the adventure that we're going to have for the next 2 hours.
We did, and here we are. And for folks that catch Luke's regular appearances Thursday mornings at 7:50 for the last 10 weeks, roughly, we've been talking about Top Chef Wisconsin because Luke is not just a fan; he's a super fan of the show, and not just the Wisconsin season. I mean, like, have you watched like all 20 seasons prior?
Yeah, I've seen every single episode.
You've seen every single episode.
Seen all, All of them.
So we're gonna do a little kitchen chat coming up here in just a couple of minutes as well. We just want to wish Greg well. Hope he feels better soon. He's under the weather, and so I know people yesterday were like, "We didn't hear Greg very much." Greg didn't feel so good.
And he
thank him for coming in, but he shut the camera off. He's like, "I'm just gonna be over here." I'm like, "Okay, thank you."
We have a scheduled weekly check-in. And in the afternoon on Mondays, and he and I were starting to talk, and I was like, "Dude, if you're not feeling well, just go home now." And so I had a feeling that I was going to get a text message last night or an update saying, "Hey, I don't know if I'm going to be in tomorrow." So I was kind of mentally preparing myself, but yeah, he needed to be sent home and rest up because he's not feeling the greatest.
Yep. And you know, that happens. We all get under the weather. So hopefully he feels better real soon. I want to ask you, though, before I get into the cooking questions for you, and it's also National Cheese Day, so we're going to incorporate that into the discussion.
National Cheese Day in Dairy Month? Oh, my goodness. In June, I am not Dairy prepared. Month.
I know. Just so many worlds coming together here. So we'll actually start sports a little early because the Brewers lost in Philadelphia 3-1. Did you catch the game and or see the welcome home that Rhys Hoskins got from the Philly crowd?
I did not catch last night's game. I had watched or I had listened to pretty much the last 4 or 5 in a row. So last night I had not tuned into the Brewers. But how was Rice received back?
Oh, my goodness. Well, like I posted on social media, I said, "Damn you, Phillies fans. You have a reputation." They have a reputation for being, mean and jerks
crass.
And everything.
Yeah, a little crass.
Yes. And Rhys, played the first 7 years of his career in a Phillies uniform. He sat out all of last year with an injury and then signed with the Brewers as a free agent. So it was his first game back. And, I mean, you know what you would normally expect from a Philly crowd. And instead, adulation. The standing ovation that he got when he came to the plate the first time. And he was getting teary. I was getting verklempt. I mean, everybody was just like, I don't recognize these fans, but clearly they love their Rhys Hoskins and they miss him. And, and then he hit a home run in the 7th inning, but it was the Brewers' only run, which is why they lost 3-1. But it was just another one of those, "This is why I love baseball" moments.
Oh, yeah.
Because you get something like that.
It's, as Brad Pitt says in Moneyball, how can you not be romantic about baseball?
Exactly. See what, and all the best movies, all the best sports movies are kind of baseball based. Yeah, Caddyshack.
Remember the Titans and Miracle are up there. Like, those two are very good, and they're not baseball movies.
They're okay. You can tell I'm much more of a baseball fan.
That's fair.
I'm not a hockey guy,
but that's why Miracle is one of my favorite all time sports movies because it is just so, it transcends sport.
Okay, the timer's going off. We can only talk sports for so long.
Okay.
We start getting notes from people.
Noted.
They're like, get back to the news. Okay, here's the news. It's National Cheese Day.
There we go. That's news.
Hey, works for me. I was very tempted yesterday to pick up some Hook's aged cheddar. I was in a hurry and ultimately didn't grab it, but now that I see it's Cheese Day, I may have to go back.
Yeah, you're kicking
and
yourself.
Pick it up. Get some Marietta Gouda because there's now a Marietta Gouda store in Eau Claire. Fresh off the farm in Thorpe over there, or Torp, if you will. We're celebrating all things cheese here. In my case, the cheese I wanted to mention, my original question for you was about cast iron skillets. Because over the weekend, Sherry and I once again made one of our favorite things,
which is a
cast iron skillet deep dish pizza.
Yeah.
Oh, you saw it.
I saw
it. Yeah, that got posted on social media.
Oh,
of course it did.
Of course.
Oh my goodness, so much mozzarella, but it's the Parmesan is what really makes it over the top of it, which you don't think of very much with a pizza, and the garlic and everything else. But I figured for all the Top Chef stuff you were watching, and forgive me if I've asked before, but I don't know if I have, if you are a cast iron skillet cooker yourself.
We utilize it, but not super often. So there's definitely a variety of recipes that we will use for it. But especially anything that needs to go in the oven, if it's got to get like seared and then into the oven, big fans of the cast iron then. But I was raised on the cast iron because my family was an outdoorsy family. We go camping very frequently.
That's right. Yeah. Again, forgive me for the I botched up the intro. Eagle Scout Luke Mathers is with us here. Yeah,
okay. You are forgiven. So we would use the cast iron camping all the time, and then being on cast iron duty to clean it was always big pain in the butt, but that was one of those scheduled chores for somebody in the troop to make sure that the cast iron was properly taken care of.
Well, you just put it in the dishwasher, right? No.
Oh, no.
No, you do not.
Oh, no. And that's not something to joke about either, Pat.
No, you don't.
Some people may now be going to put their cast iron pans in the dishwasher.
Nobody's,
and folks, please do not do that.
No,
please
no, no,
do not.
No, that's fine. I really like mine. And, you know, we use it for all kinds of things. I make a shepherd's pie. I do my steaks in there now. I mean, that is finally how we like them best. Although it gets really smoky sometimes. And I have found that if you do the reverse sear thing instead, where you put the steaks on the skillet, put it in the oven, get them to near the temperature you want, and then, you know, sear the heck out of them, you know, on the skillet, on the stovetop. That's really good.
Nice.
But
I'll have to try that.
What
method.
I want
I have
to
not
do,
tried that yet.
What I want to do, one thing I haven't made yet, is I've seen recipes for a cast iron skillet chocolate chip cookie. But it occurs to me, I've made so many things in, you know, salty things like, you know, steaks and pizzas and things like that, that maybe a cookie wouldn't work out so well.
I think you need to get those like individual little tiny ones.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, you go that route, and that way you don't have to worry about all the other savory flavors bleeding into your cookie. You've just got individual pans for the cookie,
right?
But I don't
so
know.
There you go. Father's Day. If I'm sure my daughters listen every day, so we're looking like the 6-7 inch, you know, personal
plenty
pan
of
pizza
time.
Size.
You got about you got 12 days, plenty of time to get that order in, send it to the house. Yeah,
there, that'll work.
But really, cast iron queso. That's a good one on National Cheese Day. Ooh, that's
did you say cast iron queso?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Ooh.
You just throw it in the pan. Yeah, you throw all the things in there, melts. It's set to go.
Okay. All right, somehow I got it. Now my mouth is watering while I go do this promo over here. You can stay up to date on all the unabashedly Wisconsin news we give you in the Up North News Daily Newsletter. Christina Lurie's got an article in here today about National Cheese Day and how it got started, some fun facts about cheese, and where Wisconsin stands, not just against other states, but about other countries as well. And places where you can actually get cheese for a lower price. So get to our daily newsletter. Go to upnorthnewswi.com, newsletter in the top banner, and get yourself subscribed right then and there. My other colleague, Sherita Booker, our social media manager, comes along in just a bit and is going to talk about some of the most popular stories on our social media platforms coming up, and a little bit about the latest farm conditions as well. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Tuesday morning, when you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network. USC Trojan Marching Band playing at Dodger Stadium on this day in 1979. Fleetwood Mac made the request. The band gathered. They recorded them for use in their song Tusk, the title track, to the first album since a little project they did called Rumors. We'll have more in today's history lesson coming up in just a little bit. On the text line, we got a question from Ben in Oshkosh asking if we are out of drought status yet. I'm going to talk more about that later in the morning, as we often do on Tuesdays with the latest crop report. Can tell you that unless you're in places like Sauk, Juneau, Adams, Marquette, Ashland, or Iron Counties, drought status, not really much of a thing anymore. All right, let's visit with Sherita Booker, social media manager for us here at Up North News. Sherita, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, thank you. Let's jump into our review of three stories that you'll find on Facebook, Instagram, other platforms that are getting a lot of comments or a lot of views. Let's start with our newsy one first about teacher pay in Wisconsin, and especially the struggle this time around in smaller rural districts. So tell us about one superintendent up in Washburn County and what he has to say about all this.
Yeah, so Shell Lake Superintendent Todd Fellhofer says he wishes he could pay his teachers more, but with the rural district of about 600 students in northern Wisconsin, he's already operating under a deficit. So we put together a graphic on how does Wisconsin's teacher pay compared to other states. And according to a new report from National Education Association, the average salary for Wisconsin teachers is $62,524, while the national salary is $69,544. And in our neighboring state, Minnesota, the salary is $70,005. And coming in at the top paid across the nation is California, with a $95,160 average salary. We had tons of comments on Facebook. Tamara said teachers are extremely underpaid for their work that they do, but they do it anyway because they are amazing. Most people wouldn't last one day in a classroom. Hats off to all who decide to take their time to a career in education. And Jeremy said $62,000 in Wisconsin goes a lot farther than $95,000 in California. No one can live in California anymore with their insane inflation.
Well, that's true. I'll definitely grant that. But instead of comparing Wisconsin to California, you know, in this case, the story is noting that it's in rural districts where, yeah, $62,000 will take you a bit more than maybe in a lot of large cities. But these increases are not keeping up with inflation. They're not comparable to what they could get almost literally a stone's throw away across the border in Minnesota, which is why we end up losing some of our best teachers to some other neighboring states. And as per pupil aid, you know, may go up per pupil, but if you have fewer pupils because you're in a rural district and, you know, people are moving away or aging out, then you're still going to get less in funding. So the whole point that, you know, Sharita's seen from the comments and from the graphics is just to let people see, you know, what is the state of teacher pay in Wisconsin these days, and then listen to your candidates this fall and see what they have to say about this. I was very encouraged at all of the comments on the post that understood, you know, how difficult teaching is, not to take it for granted. Clearly, there are a couple of people in here that still do, to which I say, you know, good luck, give it a try. But again, a good series of graphics that folks might want to check out on our social media sites. The second one we're going to talk about is about the hamburger and whether the hamburger was really invented in Wisconsin. I've never really known what to make about this, Sharita. Tell us more about this controversy.
Well, many other states claim to be the birthplace of the burger, but Seymour, Wisconsin is the only state that has evidence dating back to 1855 or 1885, with the article printed from Appleton that tells the story of a 15-year-old boy named Charlie Negrini. He was initially selling meatballs, but discovered that people wanted to take the meatballs on the go, so he started to smash the meatballs between two pieces of bread. So that post had more than 400 likes on Facebook, and Corey said, "Yet there is no longstanding hamburger joint in Seymour." And someone else said that the burger fest that they usually have annually celebrating Charlie was canceled this year because of construction. So that's unfortunate this year.
Oh, gosh, yes. And then, of course, you get into the whole notion of, you know, what's a normal burger, what's a smash burger. I for one, heard this story and was thinking, oh, a meatball sandwich. See, I love a good meatball sandwich, Sharita. What's your own favorite for the way that you would have a burger?
I recently started liking smash burgers. I think because they're so popular these days, but they're like the nice little thin crisp patty. I love that.
Mm-hmm. I've become a real fan of sliders because you kind of get, I was going to say you get portion control, but seriously, who eats one slider, right?
Right.
And it's like the bite-sized candy bars. Am I going to have one, or am I going to have more than if I had just purchased a full-size candy bar? But be that as it may. Third story is a graphic out of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, but it is a take on other social media posts that I've seen all over the place. It's basically, what, a Wisconsinite quiz?
Yes. How Wisconsin are you? And it has a list of things like that typical Wisconsins know or have done or said, and you give yourself 1 point for each thing that you've done. So let's play.
All right. Well, let's do it. Let's see. Let's start with... No, I shouldn't start with that. It's not radio friendly. We're not going to talk about what fib means. We're just going to move on. Have you ever done jump around at a wedding? Yes or no?
No.
Have you grilled when there's still snow on the ground?
I have.
Okay. Have you been to a fish fry?
Absolutely.
Have you eaten at a supper club?
No.
Okay. Have you been to a baby shower at a bar?
I don't believe so.
No, not in your part of the state. Much more common up here. Have you argued about where up north begins?
Definitely.
Have you chugged a spotted cow?
Yes.
Have you ever said ope?
Of course.
Okay. And have you ever insisted to others that the UP actually really belongs to Wisconsin?
No.
Okay. So there's several more questions here. So you'd give yourself a grade on this. And the scale runs from, you know, 0 to 5. Are you sure you're not a fib? 6 to 10 is Scotty wannabe. 11 to 15 is Dairy State darling. And 16 plus is, it says, born and bred. I'm definitely not born in Wisconsin. I'm definitely bred in Wisconsin. And Sharita, I think the only reason you come in at Dairy State darling is we just have to get you up north here a few more times to do, you know, some of these other things.
Yeah, and I definitely have to go to a supper club. Like, that's on my topic.
We have to get you there. So that's still on my staff retreat list for next time around. Thanks for playing along, as always. Have a great day, Sharita Booker. We'll keep watching what you're doing online, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Bye, Pat.
Luke, any chance that you kept score for yourself on, you know, whether you are born and bred?
I need to go take the whole quiz, but I think I can get 16 plus. I think I can do it.
I think you would actually invent some questions that other people should do. That's how scony you are.
Oh, that is a compliment. Thank you so much.
That's right. Well, it just takes me right into the Scony Summer Text to Win contest. We're going to tell you more about that. 7:07 is when you're going to want to be tuned in for today's keyword. Text that, and you could be in the running for some prizes. Pam Yonke has the Midwest Farm Report and more news coming up. You're up north. I'm having a tough time today with age, and it's not just the pending milestone birthday, but it's the fact that this album, Born in the USA, came out 40 years ago today, Bruce Springsteen's 1984 blockbuster. We'll be playing a few more cuts from that throughout the course of the morning here on Up North News Radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. It is 6:35. Let's unpack some more of the news, and we'll get to Eric Hovde's comments about Native Americans and what he considers to be socialism. Coming up in just a bit, but a reminder as always, you can reach us by phone or by text at 855-75-CIVIC. Again, 855-75-CIVIC. You can call or text that number. You can use the Civic Media app to call us or text us. You can comment on social media. We're on a couple of Facebook pages, a YouTube page. Just search for Up North News WI. And you can email us. Our email address is radio@upnorthnewswi.com. There is a new political commercial that you're going to be seeing on TV starting this morning, and Up North News was the first to be notified by Evergreen Action. That is a climate advocacy group that it has put together a partnership that is spending more than $1 million on ads in Wisconsin and Michigan to do something that we have talked about quite often on this program, and that is to tout the climate and energy provisions of President Biden's Inflation Reduction Act. Because for all of the sideshows and for all of the carnival atmosphere that accompanies any presidential election, much less one involving Donald Trump, there always remains a I'm so often reminded of the Affordable Care Act and how people back in 2010 said that they did not support the Affordable Care Act. But then when you ask them about each specific provision in it, they favored it. What they heard about the package, they said was, you know, no bueno. Again, till they had to learn what it was about. And now support for it is at an all-time high. And the same is going to happen with the Inflation Reduction Act, but only to the extent that groups like Evergreen Action, the Biden campaign, and others talk about the ways that it will create jobs, lower energy costs, help offset the effects of a changing climate, and more. The ads thank the governors in their respective states, Tony Evers here and Gretchen Whitmer over in Michigan, for helping to work with President Biden to implement those parts of the Inflation Reduction Act. So look for that ad on your TV screens and probably multimedia screens as well. As we also first told you about it Up North News yesterday, a top Biden surrogate is coming to Wausau, Green Bay, and Milwaukee, and that would be former Alabama Senator, former U.S. Attorney Doug Jones. He will be in Wausau, Green Bay, and Milwaukee on Wednesday and Thursday. The topic there is Social Security and Medicare, and essentially just calling out the ways that as much as Donald Trump tries to have it both ways, frankly, as much as almost any elected Republican tries to have it both ways on Social Security and Medicare, their record is clear in terms of what they've actually proposed. Not what they've said on the campaign trail, not what they've said in talk shows, but what they actually submit, which would lead to cuts. You know, Trump is far more likely to want to privatize Medicare. Up North News had a good article a week or so ago about Medicare Advantage plans and how they are far less than what they're made out to be in all of these celebrity-driven TV ads, much to the detriment of traditional Medicare, which maybe doesn't have things like, you know, a free shuttle ride to the clinic, but it lets you pick any doctor or provider that you want, something you don't get on Medicare Advantage plans where you end up with a bill, you end up seeing all kinds of fees on there, and that's something that Trump wants to further do, is continue pushing Medicare Advantage, which is essentially a giveaway to the private for-profit insurance industry to undermine Medicare. And of course, remarks on Social Security and related programs are certainly out there from Trump, where he said, back in February on CNBC, there's a lot you can do in terms of entitlements, in terms of cutting. He then went on to mention waste and bad management and later claimed that's the only thing he's talking about cutting, but there really isn't a trust issue on there, especially since the last time he was president, he proposed $45 billion in cuts from the Social Security Disability Insurance and Supplemental Security Income programs for disabled children and adults as one way to get a foot in the door toward further cuts toward Social Security. So look for Doug Jones, who has been talked about as a potential Supreme Court nominee in a second Biden term. Look for Doug Jones to be in Wisconsin over the next couple of days to be talking about, you know, the threats that Trump has posed to Social Security and to Medicare. And a follow-up on a story we had yesterday about a member of the University of Wisconsin Board of Regents, Robert Atwell, a Scott Walker appointee who said that he was going to stick around, even though his term ends later this month. And as a result, it led to Governor Evers making a comment about that. Let's see if I have the exact quote here. Here it is. I know Bob Atwell, and he was a person of extraordinary integrity. Something happened along the way that caused that not to happen. I do believe at some point in time he'll decide to get off the UW Board of Regents. Well, hours later, as I first saw in WISP Politics and later by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Bob Atwell has now said that he will step down from the Board of Regents when his term expires so that Governor Evers can appoint a successor. Now, that successor will serve and await Senate confirmation, but as we've discussed at length, state Senate Republicans are in no hurry to confirm Evers' nominees and, in fact, have rejected many of the nominations without any just cause whatsoever. Just cause. No just cause, just cause. That's the way that Republican lawmakers have been running things with Governor Evers since his election. All right, well, now we get to U.S. Senate candidate Eric Hovde and his latest remarks on Native Americans. It was something that I first noticed at WCPT Radio in Chicago. They have a website called Heartland Signal. where they follow the comings and goings of Midwestern politics. And these comments are from 2017, and I want to explain why. Eric Hovde ran in 2012 for U.S. Senate. A lot of folks don't remember that, but in 2012, there was actually a rather divisive four-way primary amongst Republicans for U.S. Senate to run for an open seat. Tammy Baldwin was going to be running for the seat on the Democratic side. Four different Republicans were vying to take her on. Former Governor Tommy Thompson eventually emerged from that primary, but it was a bruising primary, and Tammy Baldwin later went on to win and has served ever since. Now Hovde wants to run against Baldwin again. There's no primary at the moment this time around. His only opponent appears to be his own words, because after 2012, folks didn't really pay much attention to Eric Hovde, but he still made some appearances here and there on right-wing talk radio stations. And so as people have been going through and trying to find some of these appearances and reading what he says or looking for tape of it, you find things. Some of these things we have talked about previously. His comments about farmers, of course, the more recent comment about people in nursing homes are in no point to vote. Maybe there should be a, you know, what you would call a fat tax on health insurance plans, you know, that he would target obese people. None of those around here in our zip code. But now there's from another talk show in 2017, he essentially belittles Native Americans and blames what he calls socialism for the things that, you know, ail our indigenous communities. Here is about a minute and a half of Eric Hovde on a radio show talking about Native Americans and what he considers to be socialism.
A horrible social impact.
It does.
I mean, if you really go back to it, the first group of American citizens that were put on socialism is the Indian reservations. And if you wonder why, you know, for the longest amount of time, they had the highest degree of, you know, alcoholism, dropout rates, depression rates, all the negative manifestations of that occurring, because people's sense of self-worth is not derived by getting a government check. It's by what they've accomplished, the work they've put forth. Having a job and feeling like you've contributed to society is very important for us as human beings. Look, Indian reservations, which, you know, because of, for whatever reason, guilt put him on a quasi-socialist system, and some of the highest rates of drug addiction, alcoholism, dropout rates, all the problems manifested themselves. And, you know, one of the great things in this state, you've gotten some business activity, free market capitalism, largely around casinos, admittedly, but gotten people employed. You know, if you wake up every day and you don't have a purpose in life and you don't feel like I'm contributing, what do you think you're going to ultimately do? Of course, you're sitting around all day. You know, the devil's workshop is an idle mind. You know, drink and do whatever. And what's the destructive path that is?
So listening to that, and I wonder, Luke, I'm guessing it's the first time you've heard that as well. It's almost like you ever sometimes, you know, radio talk show hosts never do this. You ever sometimes start going out on a rhetorical limb and realizing you're not exactly sure where the limb is going, and pretty soon it turns into word salad? And that's where I could hear Eric Hovde going, like, oh, wait, I'm starting to belittle the Native American lifestyle and governance. Well, let's just call it socialism. Let's somehow say casinos cured it all. And boom, point made. I don't know that he was making whatever point he was looking to make originally.
I've never had that problem. But it sounds like Eric Hovde exactly had that problem.
You've never had that problem.
No, I'm
never.
Kidding. Yeah, no. It's to say, I'm sorry, free market capitalism around casinos, like the only, like it is the only source of revenue that was allowed for, like, you have to have a state like issuing gaming license to be able to run those casinos. Like, there is so much state involvement in gambling. Like, I don't understand how you believe that that's the free market solution. Like, yes, he had no idea where he was going with that runaway train, Pat, and he just likes to have the boogeyman of socialism to beat up on, and wherever that leads is usually the rhetorical line that these candidates take.
Well, what they're always looking for is when he talks about the dignity of work, which is code for you're lucky I gave you a job. You're lucky to have a paycheck. And if there weren't a minimum wage, I'd be paying you even less if I could get away with it. But at least we're making an honest person out of you. It's that particular entrepreneurial outlook, which is not meant to paint a broad brush with all entrepreneurs. I'm just saying there are some that get this attitude about, you know, their station in life compared to, you know, the workers below them. And it's disheartening, but downright shameful when they then take that and try to run for office and try to call something socialism. Maybe start first with what got our communities, indigenous communities, where they are in the first place. The word genocide comes to mind. You know, completely removing a lifestyle, completely removing their land. And we're not going to go back and rehash, you know, wars from 100 years ago. I'm just saying have a little bit better grasp of history before you start saying that something is socialism, when what you've got is people who were given, had almost everything taken away and given almost none of the tools to build a better lifestyle, to have opportunity. So if anything led to dependency, it was, you know, the very people that, you know, Eric Hovde wants to blame for this. And it just seems that he might be better off having some visits with members of the indigenous communities of Wisconsin before he tries to equate their lifestyle and their governance with socialism once again. But I also have a feeling this is not going to be the last time that we find that Eric Hovde has said things in the past or even in the, you know, in the recent past that are going to make people think twice and say, oh, wait, this is why he didn't get elected in 2012. And why, despite his willingness to pour $20 million of his own money into the race, it may not gain him that much more support than, you know, the Donald Trump base here in Wisconsin. Today's history lesson is coming up next. You're up north. Good tracks that you'll hear on the radio from Born in the USA. This one, I think, is underplayed. It's one of my favorites. And if you missed it earlier, Born in the USA came out 40 years ago today from Bruce Springsteen. So we'll hear a few more cuts of that this morning. As we mentioned earlier, on this day in 1979, Fleetwood Mac recorded Tusk using the USC Trojan Marching Band at Dodger Stadium. Born this day in 1937, Freddie Fender. Folks who listened to all of the various country rock crossover hits of the 70s will certainly remember this particular single, one of two big hits by Freddie Fender.
Wasted days and wasted nights, I have left for you behind.
Freddie Fender passed away in 2006 at the age of 69. He was a rockabilly Tejano singer of the 60s, hit it big in the 70s with that song and Before the Next Teardrop Falls. And having family who had lived in South Texas, I've passed through his hometown of San Benito many a time, and his larger-than-life picture is still painted atop the water tower out there. Remember Dr. Ruth? Ruth Westheimer? Yeah, still with us. Dr. Ruth is 96 years old today. Happy birthday to her. Actress Angelina Jolie is 49 today. Michelle Phillips from the Mamas and the Papas turns 80 years old today. And I got a couple more birthdays. Here's a birthday. Let's see. I said Michelle Phillips turns 80 today. Look who else turns 80 today. Roger Ball from the band in the 70s that was actually a precursor to anything Luke does with music. He's from the Average White Band.
Mm-hmm.
Again, an underrated skit. Saturday Night Live sometimes plays some skits to death. This was not one of them. They could have done the Jazz times 10 thing a few more times. Luke really doesn't like that. He referred to him as the Average White Man. That was their original name. It was Average White Man. And then he changed it to Average White Band. They're from Scotland.
Yeah, there you go. It's a good horn for, like, that's just catchy.
It's a good, yeah, it's a good. It has been sampled. It and many of their other tunes have been sampled repeatedly throughout the rap and hip hop world as well. On this day in 1977, JVC introduces VHS videotape at the Consumer Electronics Show. It will eventually prevail against Sony's rival Betamax system in a format war to become the predominant home video medium. And now none of them are around anymore. But do you have VHS tapes lying around anymore? Did you ever?
At my house? No. Growing up, yes. Like trying to figure out how to record things on TV with VHS was like one of the first like figuring out how to use technology things that I ever did. So like as a young kid trying to sync up whatever I wanted to record was always a mission and something that we like tried very hard to do, and you had to make sure that you weren't cutting over some other recording like that. Mm-hmm. I remember that well.
We'd all work so hard to get the recordings just right, and then now gone.
All gone.
So Tony writes in.
My video... folks have a slew of them still. There's a ton of VHS around my folks' house.
Oh, see, it's still out there for a certain slice of the population. Tony's writing in, video is fad. I don't think it takes off. Of course, Tony also then follows up with radio all day because, Tony's a radio head and we love him for that. El DeBarge from the self-named family group is 63 years old today.
When it feels like the world is on your shoulders and all of the madness has got
on this day in 1876, using the newly completed First Transcontinental Railroad line, a quote-unquote express train reached San Francisco from New York City after a journey of only 83 and a half hours, which, again, was light speed for its time. And then exactly 20 years later, on this day in 1896, Henry Ford completed the Ford Quadricycle, his first gasoline-powered automobile, and gave it a successful test run. Let's see, one more birthday. Al B. Schur, not his birth name, good stage name though. Al B. Schur turns 56 and had this hit from the 1980s. On the National Day calendar, it's a short one. We already talked about National Cheese Day. It is also International Corgi Day. I love corgis. I've never had them, but we've been kind of a lab family. But Sherry and I have been talking that if we get a dog again in retirement, it'll probably be a corgi because we need something with smaller legs so that we can catch it easily. When our lab would run off, there was no catching that lab. But the short little leg, no, you get back over here. Plus, we'll fatten him up so he can't run really fast anyway.
All right, that's one way to do it.
Yeah, let's see. This is a firearm safety day, a day to remind you to lock up the guns that you have at home and store them safely. It's National Cognac Day, which is just a way of saying you paid too much for that bottle of brandy, I think. And
that's the most Wisconsin way to celebrate that day.
Isn't it, though?
That's just too expensive brandy.
Did you really put cognac in that old-fashioned? Well, yeah, it's brandy. It works. And then finally, and this is a weird one. This is what is called, now don't take this out on me. This is National Old Maids Day. And it is designed to shed light on single and childless women over the usual age of marriage. It dates back to just after World War II when all the troops came home, but not all the troops. I think one thing people really lose sight of is that, the death toll for Americans. Well, America lost 420,000 fighting men and women who never came back from the war, mostly men, obviously, and all those women who were married, never remarried again, waiting for loved ones to hopefully return, but never did. And so the first quote-unquote old maids gathering was to celebrate the people who are unmarried, childless women, others who need to be celebrated and appreciated for their contribution to churches, schools, hospitals, offices, and general society. Now, of course, it's a way to make sure that we appreciate those who choose to not have children and a family of their own, and to no longer burden them with a societal stigma that lasted for generations. We've got Congressman Mark Pocan and congressional candidate Katrina Shanklin coming up in the second hour of Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlum.